Welcome to this edition of the NFL General Manager Podcast. My name is Aaron Thomas, a.k.a. Native Seahawk. Let's get right into it, shall we? Well, what a week it has been. One of the most surprising announcements this week was the suspension of Jaron Reed, defensive tackle, who all along in this podcast we've been talking about what is it that he needs to do to get an extension. We kept saying we need to pay this man. And here all along, the Seahawks brass knew that Jaron Reed could be suspended from an incident that happened in 2017, which a lot of us are like, okay, why the delay? Why did it take 2 years for Roger Goodell and his group to be able to hand this down to him? And especially knowing, you know, the fact this is his contract year. And so that's number one. Number two, if you're the Seahawks, and I can understand why they went out and got a couple of guys in free agency that we normally maybe wouldn't have seen in the past. I know we've had some other defensive line issues and folks that have left. But I don't know. I feel like we should have probably been a little bit more aggressive in getting some of the better defensive tackles that were out there and available as a plan B. I know that we just signed Earl Mitchell, which is a really good signing. In the last couple of years, he's been with NFC rival, well, former rival, San Francisco 49ers. He has played in 28 games. He started six of them. He started in 28 games for the Niners, had 36 solo tackles and one sack. And so, you know, Earl Mitchell doesn't provide the same kind of power and, you know, quarterback sacking ability and balance of sacking plus run defense as we had with Jaron Reed. But Earl Mitchell does provide a tremendous veteran presence on the defensive line. He, according to Pete Carroll, has a high motor, is very good in how he is mobile. And yeah, he's definitely a run stuffer. That's exactly what Earl Mitchell is. Is he going to get you, 10 and a half sacks in a season? No, he's not. But he's going to line up against, you know, with and compete with Al Woods and Puna Ford up the middle. And I like that. I mean, it's not Jaron Reed, but you got the first six games of the season, as we all know, are probably going to be the most toughest games that we're going to have this year. And, you know, of course, you got that one stretch in October and November where you're getting in the second half of the season where a lot of primetime games and some of them are away. But, you know, you got the likes of New Orleans Saints and other teams are coming to Seattle, and Seattle has to go to other high-powered offenses. But you're going to have to do – it's next man up. I mean, that's really my reaction to all this. It's you have to have the next man. And, you know, the way that I see when we lost Doug Baldwin to retirement and when Earl Thomas was not re-signed – you have to say to yourself as a fan, how do you get through this? And for me, it's like, okay, I want to be able to, you know, just think to myself, Jaron Reed was injured and he was put on the PUP, he couldn't perform. And so if I'm thinking that's the way in my own mind. And if that's the case, you kind of look at yourself and say, all right, what can we do and who can come up and provide that spark? Of course, the second announcement, which leads from the first one, is the fact that Bobby Wagner is an extended Seahawk, and we're very thankful for that. Again, on this podcast, we kept talking about the idea that we needed to re-sign Bobby Wagner, you know, pay the man. He's earned it. Every single statistic proved that Bobby Wagner is the best. And, you know, it's good. It's a good thing to have when you have, such a huge shock in the fact that Jaron Reed's not there anymore. So who picks up the slack? You know, if for some reason Puna Ford, Al Woods, or now Earl Mitchell, you know, they miss their assignment and the running back's going up the middle, guess who they have to contend with? Bobby Wagner. And so, again, it's really interesting, how Seattle had to maneuver through this and be able to keep the fact that Jaron Reed could be suspended at any time. And you think about getting one more note about Jaron Reed and the fact that, you know, if this did happen in 2017. Allegedly, he did have some kind of domestic violence issue with his girlfriend. And I guess he had another girl that had come in from Atlanta. And it was this really weird CF that happened between the three of them. And the one that was that lives here was basically, you know, getting mad at Jaron Reed and saying, why are you, you know, having these girls come from all over the country? And allegedly he kicked the bathroom door down, and there may have been some kind of marks on the young woman's neck from him. And basically he was trying to choke her out, and allegedly. And so she calls the cops get there, take her statement. And then that was it. There was nothing more than that. She dropped it. And that's really what happened. And so the fact that you can have a police report pretty much dictate a player's future, that concerns me. Because what if this was something else and somebody, you know, created a police report and just alleges that Russell Wilson was over there and he did X, Y, or Z. Now Russell Wilson's going to be up for a suspension. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. The litmus test to be able to be suspended really needs to be looked at. And, you know, you got the other, you know, sports pundits talking about how some of the other guys around the NFL, you know, have basically gotten away with other harsher things, not being suspended for even one game. And here you have Jaron Reed, who is alleged to have done this. You know, and he did, you know, cop up to it. He did say he was there. He did say that this is what happened on his side of the story, which I wish he would have had his attorney next to him and just deny, deny, deny. Those of us that are from the streets, we know you never tell the truth. At the, you know, if you even get you get pulled over by a cop and he says, "Hey, how fast were you think you were going?" I'll be like, "I was going the speed limit, officer. What are you talking about?" Anyway, you know, but it's a stand-up move. That's exactly what Jaron Reed did, and that's a good thing, especially that's the kind of character that you want. And if it's been 2 years since this happened and there hasn't been anything else that's surfaced, that's actually another good thing, too, if you want to extend him. And so, unfortunately, we're not going to be without his services, but you do have Bobby Wagner, who was re-signed or extended this week, which is exactly what we had all hoped. 3 years, $54 million. $40.2 million guaranteed, and that's exactly what you want. You want to keep your best defensive player happy. That's Bobby Wagner. He's one of now your top three leaders on this team. He was kind of quietly emerged as the leader. If you think about all the big voices that the Seahawks have had over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, and Bobby Wagner has definitely, you know, quietly motivates that defense and just continues to play lights out. And all indications are he's not, his body hasn't crumbled like some of his counterparts have had over the last couple of years, Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill, et cetera. And a linebacker, if you think about the way that they play, you have, you know, all kinds of different Hall of Fame linebackers have played in their 40s. And, you know, Bobby Wagner's only 28 years old when he's done. With this contract, he'll be about 32. So, you know, this was his third big contract, or his third contract, and it was one of the biggest ones that Seattle's ever given in terms of guaranteed money. And it's just awesome to see Bobby Wagner. And, you know, everybody talks about him off the field and how great he is there. And so really, really good news coming out of Renton there. And, you know, some other stuff that's been going on around the NFL, or around the Seahawks, especially more recently, is the re-signing of Deshaun Shedd. And I've got a good friend, well, she's a high school friend of mine that we were just talking at a reunion this weekend about Deshaun Shedd because she's related by marriage to him. And we were talking about him. I was like, what happened to Deshaun Shedd? And she was like, well, he's been hanging around, you know, Renton. He's been trying to figure out how he can get back in Seattle. And sure as heck, not even a few hours after we talked about that, it was announced that Deshaun Shedd was re-signed for a minimum veteran contract. And, you know, he took off, he thought, for greener pastures and went to Detroit. And in 2018, he had 12 games appeared. He started one game. For the season, he had 18 tackles and one forced fumble. So he didn't do a tremendous impact, especially, you know, over the course of the years he was in Seattle. He made quite a bit of impact, especially on special teams. And so, So Deshaun Shedd is, his best season was in 2015. And, you know, that, of course, was one of the two Super Bowl appearances that we had. And so Deshaun Shedd comes in and he's going to help mentor some of the younger guys, which, so again, that to me is the number one thing he's going to be able to do. I mean, he can come in and start right away. If Seattle thinks that Marquise Blair, who a lot of us pegged as a possible starter at free safety, Deshaun Shedd can come in and play that role. I mean, if he's, according to my friend, he's been playing, you know, totally been lifting weights and has been, you know, watching what he eats and has just been out there running and doing what he can to stay in shape. He's not a young buck anymore. He's got kind of long in the tooth, but again, he provides that veteran presence. He can play cornerback. He can play free safety, strong safety. So he's got versatility. And so I think it's a great move. I'm glad that he hung around, and there was a few guys on the team, including Russell Wilson, who allegedly was in the ears of Pete Carroll and John Schneider over the last 3 or 4 months, and actually since the offseason started, trying to get them to, you know, kind of basically promoting him and saying, hey, we need him on our team. And I think when the fact that Marquise Blair came out into camp and was like, oh, we got to put him on PUP, that they had to make some move. And so why not go out and get a guy who's been on your team, who's helped you win, and it provides a tremendous mentorship to the young guys on the team, and Ugo Amadi and a few other guys that could really look up to Deshaun Shedd, who is a Super Bowl champion. He was here in Seattle when they beat the 49ers or the Broncos. And so it's great. I'm glad to see Deshaun Shedd back in a Seahawks uniform and this coming preseason, and hopefully he sticks on. Hopefully he can you know, earn his keep and be with the team, because I think he's a really good player who fits this scheme. I think that's, at the end of the day, that's really what happens. Again, how many guys have left Seattle for greener pastures and they just didn't fit in? I mean, Seattle's defensive scheme is completely unique, and it fits Seattle, and anybody else that tries to duplicate it, they can't. And Deshaun Shedd and others have took off, and they go into other systems, and they just don't thrive. And so it's good to see him back in Seattle. To make room for Deshaun Shedd, Caleb Scott, wide receiver, is out on a non-football injury, and Emmanuel Ellerby, linebacker, has been placed on the injured reserve list. So I didn't have Caleb Scott on this team in my projections coming for this year. And I did have Emmanuel Ellerby as a backup role linebacker in Seattle, but he's got an injury that he's going to have to figure out and hopefully come back before the season starts. Now, speaking of the season starting, oh my gosh, today is Sunday, and next Sunday we're going to have live football for the Hall of Fame game. And of course, the Seahawks play on August 8th, which is a Thursday night in Seattle. And so this week, I'm going to be heading to the training camp on Friday, August 2nd. So if you see me out there, I'm going to be wearing my Aaron hat. It's a black and white hat. I'd love to talk with you. I'm going to be asking many of you to come on the show. And I'll do a live version of, or not, well, not really live, I'll tape it, but taped live at training camp, and we'll just talk football and what we're going to do this year. And I did get a winner for this Friday's tickets to the training camp, and so we'll be talking to that person as well on Friday. So anyway, it all good stuff in going around. And, you know, last week we talked about Golden Tate and the fact he was running his mouth about who he hit the best quarterback that he's ever played with. And he did not mention Russell Wilson. Well, Mr. Golden Tate is appealing a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL's performance enhancing substance. And he believes it's a legitimate case. I guess he's trying to get fertile and try to have kids. And so part of the fertility that he took was a banned substance by the NFL. So he's going to try to plead, hey, I'm trying to start my family and I needed to take this medicine. And once I found out that it was a banned substance, I stopped taking it, la, la, la. But I don't think that the NFL is going to buy that. I think he's going to be suspended. It's going to be upheld, mainly because you're a freaking football player. You better have a really good agent or somebody that can tell you, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And then, you know, send your team doctor or somebody who knows better than you do the substance and say, hey, is any of this stuff illegal? Am I going to get suspended if I have to take a pee test? So I don't get that. I don't think that Golden Tate's suspension's not going to be withheld. I think it will continue to be withheld. And so the news throughout the entire this last week around the NFL, the Lions have released running back Theo Riddick, which a lot of people are surprised only because he was kind of a mainstay there in Detroit as their running back. And now he's out and a free agent. Former Packers Pro Bowl defensive tackle Mike Daniels is finalizing a deal with the Lions. So they got rid of Theo Riddick, and then they bring in Mike Daniels, who I think would have been a good addition here in Seattle, given the fact that we could use some depth. And Seattle's got a ton of cap space. So not too sure why. Maybe he just didn't want to come to Seattle. Who knows? In other news, Ravens quarterback Robert Griffin III is expected to be out 4 to 8 weeks with a hairline fracture in his right thumb. Griffin injured his thumb during practice. And so I only highlight that just because we've seen several injuries already. John Clayton says that there's normally about 8 to 10 ACL tears every offseason or during training camp. And so he just is like waiting for that news to come out of who's the eight guys or who's going to be out for the season. And, you know, as we get into training camp and we get hot and heavy into it this week, it's, you know, we got to be careful. And we just, you know, shows the fragility, mainly because a lot of these guys, they don't practice or do a whole lot throughout the entire year, especially if they make it deep in the playoffs. I'm sure they take 2 or 3 months off. And so when they come back, they're expected to do so much. And so it's not good news there for the Ravens. And other news, Rams agreed to give wide receiver Robert Woods a raise. He's just getting an additional $1 million. There's no extension of time. And basically just giving Robert Woods, wide receiver, a raise in Los Angeles. In other news, the Arizona Cardinals have released the first-round draft pick, Robert Nkendiche. We've talked about him. And when I was looking at their record this year, and I've got the Cardinals at 3 wins, I highlighted Nkendiche just because, he's had some injuries in the past, but he's a legitimate defensive lineman. And unfortunately, in Arizona, they just had Seattle builds through the draft. That's how they were able to get to the Super Bowl so quickly after the Schneider era started, mainly because they hit it big with Russell Wilson and they got Bobby Wagner and all these really good guys in the draft. Well, Arizona, 2018 first round draft pick Josh Rosen was traded after his rookie year. Nkendiche in 2016 was the first pick for the Cardinals. He's released. 2015, DJ Humphreys, 0 games played as a rookie. And in 2013, Jonathan Cooper traded after his third year. So they, over the course of 6 seasons, have completely whiffed on their first round draft picks. And that's just is not good for sustainability. Yeah, you maybe have to hope for like a Doug Baldwin situation where you get a guy undrafted who just comes out and kills it. And that hasn't happened in Arizona. So I kind of feel for him, but I don't. So I don't know. I'm just really interested in how things are flying. And speaking of flying around the NFL, the Seahawks camp, a lot of good news is coming out of training camp. And I think the highlight so far, and we've been kind of tracking this over the last since the draft, is DK Metcalf. He continues to turn heads. And according to our friend Liz Matthews, again, she continues to give us some really good info and insight throughout this offseason. But, you know, if you take a look about take a look at all the wide receivers, and again, Seattle is, that's one of the most contested positions this year, is going to be at wide receiver. And you take a look at his route running, which was a big concern as folks overlooked him because of that. Pete Carroll says, quote, he's worthy of the praise. Quote, he's an extraordinary athlete and what a tremendous addition to our club. And he's had the opportunity to make really good impressions in the offseason with us and with Russell Wilson. And so, again, that's end quote. Again, according to Liz Matthews, Metcalf looked electric during rookie minicamp and has continued to turn heads this offseason. And so I can't wait to see him at training camp on Friday. I think that's going to be one of my biggest things, is just taking a look at and sizing him up from, you know, 1,000 feet away and seeing, okay, what can he bring to Seattle other than his route running that's improving? And so I'm also really excited to see on Thursday, August 8th, when they take the field, how some of these rookies are going to stand out. And so pretty exciting times here in Seattle, and I want to thank you for joining me, and we'll be doing another drawing next Sunday for another ticket to training camp, which I have coming up in the following week. I've got three or four training camps this year that I'll be taking listeners on and enjoying ourselves there on the berm. Hopefully it won't be too hot. We'll have to bring all of our ice and do what we can to try to cool off there in Renton. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. I want to give another shout out to the Seahawkers here in Whatcom County. Go Hawks.